Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your great love for us and for every mercy we've received, for grace that's been multiplied in our lives. You've made us a rich people. We thank you that all our life has been lived under the power of your hand. And you've carried us, O God, done all kinds of things for us that we don't even know about. You've kept us from many things. It's a wonderful thing. Thank you for all this love, O Lord. Thank you for having chosen us. Thank you for your declared word in which you've said you predestined us to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. I thank you in that day when we see him, we'll find we've been made to be like him. And so you've called us sons of the living God. I thank you, you've given us such a high place. We seek to be a holy people because that's your call. You've called us to be holy. You've called us to walk with God. And this we seek to do. Help us today. Open our eyes today, Lord, that we might walk in all the grace you offer and in all the word of this grace. We thank you for it. Holy Spirit, be our helper, be our teacher today. Bless the heart of the people today. I pray in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friends, please be seated. I want to speak to you about something that is practical and helpful and which I think everyone probably has a general interest in it. How to live a long life or die trying? No. Okay. How to live a long life, how to have quality of life, how to have a fruitful life. Anybody interested in that? Okay. I get these emails every week from these health, nutrition, and exercise practitioners. When you buy a little product like an exercise book, they're continually offering you free advice ever afterwards. One of these fellows is particularly great, actually. He's not on the hard sell, and every week there's one or two short messages there that give you really good guidance. I like that one. There's others that have got a hard sell of products all dressed up in, you know, health and fitness advice. But anyway, I got one of these emails this week, and it had this list of things which, if you do them, add time to your life. And of course, there's a few things, if you do them, it takes time off. And I can't remember all that was on the list. It made very interesting reading. But it went something like this, just to give you a couple of examples, you know. Stop drinking soft drinks, you know, get all that excess sugar out of your diet, live 5 years longer. Regular exercise, you know, live 7 years longer, and presumably you can add all these up and live a long time, right? But they had a whole list of them, you know. And as far as I know, you'd tick them all off, they're all good for you. And they said, you know, this one add 2 years and this one's good for 5 years and so on, add on to your life. Well, of course, it occurred to me, without telling you how many extra years is going to add on, there are places in the Bible where it tells you if you live a certain way, you will prolong your life. And other places where it says if you live a certain way, the Lord will add years to your life. Would you be curious as to what they were? So that we could actually come up with a spiritual list, probably, of things. I'm thinking, for example, cut out all movie watching, add 10 years. I think that'd be about right. I'm not sure that all that radiation off the colour television is doing you any good, you know, aside from whatever it's doing deep down in here. I'm sure we can come up with a long list. Tony, you'd be good for that, right? And, you know, don't tell any lies about how big the fish was you caught. Add 3 months to your life, you know? However, for the real list, are you interested in the real list? We need to take a look at a few passages of Scripture. So, now, this is useful to you no matter at what age you are. You might already be 50 or 60 and, you know, some health areas of concern. Nevertheless, there might be something on this list you better attend to. Because in some ways, you know, we pay a price for earlier decisions and things where our lives are out of order, and so on. And notwithstanding all of that, life also has its ups and downs, its struggles, its battles. So the Christian life is never without the need to overcome so as to go on toward the goals. And like, for example, I had that accident on that motorbike a few years ago, ended up in hospital, you know, broken bones and punctured lung and concussion and all of that. But the moment I gained consciousness, discovered what it all was, I just made a declaration. I will have no remaining disability. And I don't. So I recovered. But, you know, this is not bad for someone who's... Who can do that? Can anybody else do that? That was my busted shoulder. No aches, no pains, no nick. It's not bad, is it? But the truth was, though, that when I woke and spoke that word, really the word was given to me by the Holy Spirit. So, but you do have battles in life, and sometimes you have setbacks. They're not so easy to overcome as that one, but we're meant to persevere by faith. Anyway, let's see what the Bible says. And I'm going to the one that's probably the number one stepping off point for this. We're going to go to second, because I think this other text is so important for Christians. You ready? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. And I'm going to put it up in three little segments on the board, and we'll finally see the point. Everybody read with me what's on... You won't see an answer in this verse yet, but read with me, everybody out loud, verses 8 and 9. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Now leave it there. Before I show you the next verse... Sorry. I'm using the very trustworthy 1984 NIV version. And you modernists who got the 2011 or something. One of us has got to get with it. Sorry and all. However, before we look at the bit that follows this, where you can see exactly what you've got to do to have the good life, pause for a moment and take a look at the last little bit in that text there that's on the screen. See? Oh, the last sentence. It says, on the contrary, look at that. Yeah, that's right. Let me read you the good, reliable version here. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. This has a lot to do with your reactions to things. If something happens, you know, it's not unusual for us to have an angry reaction. Someone in traffic does something stupid, and you just like to say, you know, that stupid driver, you just returned insult with insult, you see? You just returned, upon his foolishness, anger. Now, these are common human reactions, but it's actually visiting a curse back upon, you know, somebody. You know, somebody makes a mistake. Did you ever make a mistake in traffic and someone blow the horn at you? Yeah, see? Now, how do you think you'd feel? You know what I do every time if I happen to make a mistake and some guy's cheesed off? I pray to cut his curse off straight away, because I know what human reaction does. I don't need his words telling the world or the spirit world that fella's stupid, you know. No, I deal with that, but the point is, what about you? Notice what it says here. You don't repay insult with insult, because to the telling phrase is this last bit, because to this you are called so that you may inherit a blessing. Just rearrange the words. So that you may inherit a blessing, you were called to this purpose of blessing people who curse you and speaking good to people who would insult you. That's your calling. You're called to it for a good reason. You're called to make sure that good things come out of your heart and good words come out of your mouth so that you can inherit a blessing. Because the Lord wants to pile this blessing up on you, he calls you to live and act in a way that gets the blessing. In other words, this here, even though it hasn't said it yet, is very much connected with living a longer and a healthier life and being fruitful, as you'll see in just a moment. Now, the opposite of this is found in a psalm where the psalmist says he loved to curse, so it came to him. Would you please remember that? That's what the psalm says. He loved to curse, so it came to him. And so if you continue in life, these reactions of constantly, you know, spitting in situations, it's very difficult to avoid struggle in life. However, we go to the verse that follows this and see if your version's as good as mine. 4. Peter said, do all those things because whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. And there's one more sentence to finish the quotation. This, by the way, is an Old Testament quotation. Next bit, verse 12. There, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Okay, just go back the quotation for a minute. I wanted to spend a moment on this one before rushing through a few others because to me, this is a big anchor point for Christian life. Take a look at it again. Whoever would love life, just think of all the years that are stretching ahead of you. Would you like to enjoy them? Would you like them to be blessed? Would you like, you know, there to be some radiance about your life and some joy, and it's a pleasure living for Christ, it's a pleasure loving other people? Whoever would love life, you'd enjoy the life he gives you and see good days, if you would, then you've got to do something about everything that comes out of your heart and mouth. The advice here is, if you'd love life and see good days, you must keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. You must turn from evil and do good. Well, now it's getting on to not just speech, but righteousness. But one little thing I want you to notice in this, by the way, is an Old Testament quotation. Let's look at verse 12. There's something in this I want you to notice before we look at the others that are on the list, because all the principles are in this one little passage. Do you see what it is? For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. Now, that phrase there, his ears are attentive to their prayer, means more than what is just on the face of it. Aside from the fact that when you live like that, when you live the way the Lord wants you to live, not only is his eye on you, his hand upon you, and is he answering the prayers, and you might pray all kinds of prayers, there's another implication here, and it is this, that if you want to live a longer life and a healthier life and a more fruitful life, you need to pray for it. In other words, you don't take it for granted just because you're living the righteous life and the Lord says this is what he does for the righteous. Don't just assume, well, then I'll live the long life. No, the implication is he's attentive to your prayer and asking the Lord for a longer and a healthier life and trusting him for it is a part of the equation. Don't think that you can succeed without also seeking the Lord for the blessing. It's all part of it. All right. Now that we've had the preamble, let's take a quick look at some of the specific things the Lord says will add to the quality of your life. Now, when I think quality of life, I think three things. I think the body's got to be good, the mind's got to be good, but your spirit has got to be good. And when it comes down to that, I mean, there's got to be purpose to life and fruit bearing. I don't put any higher store on anything than fruit bearing. To me, it's right up the top of the list of priorities. Our lives must bear fruit. You can't just live a healthy life and be satisfied. You can't just live a long life and be satisfied. It must be a fruitful life. And so when I pray, I ask the Lord, I thank the Lord for the years he's giving me. I pray very specifically that I'll be healthy and strong and have a clear mind all through those years. I don't just want the years, I want the strong body, I want the good mind. But I want one more thing more than anything. In all the years that remain to me, I want those years to be years in which something on the inside of me is alive. That is, there's motivation. There's, you know, there's spiritual hunger, that is a desire to serve, so that you are a source of life to other people. Your life must be a blessing. You must be a fruitful person till you die. So get all these things on your list. So it's good health and a long life. It's a good mind, but fruitfulness, a good spirit. It's not quality of life, I don't think, to just think about health and, you know, not losing your marbles. There's a bit more to it than that. Your spirit has got to be fruitful. All right, here we go. The things you need to know. Who knows what the obvious is? Put your hand up if you know what the one really, really obvious thing in the Bible is. If you want to live life, a long life, and that life will be good for you, what have you got to do? I got two hands. Jared, what do you think? Ooh, that could be good. What do you think? He said, love your mother and father. Honor your mother and father. Does he love you, Tony? Ah, that's very good. Live a long life, Jared. That's what the scripture says. You all know that, don't you? Put up Deuteronomy, please, and let's see it in text. Everybody, take a good look. There you go. Everybody take a look at that. There is the command. I think not. Have you got these in the order we gave them? This is Deuteronomy 5:16. Yes. Even a modern translation couldn't have changed it that much. There. No, not that one. Deuteronomy. All right, just stick with Ephesians. This is fine. What happens is it was given in the Ten Commandments. You find it in more than one place in the Old Testament, where Moses, you know, carried this commandment from the Lord to the people of God. Moses, that was given in Exodus, but Moses rehashed it in a speech in Deuteronomy 5, and this is what he said. Leave that Ephesians one right there. He said, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long. And what else did he say? And that it may go well with you. So that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you. It's amazing. When I travel around, I meet people from time to time that have unusual grace, unusual strength, unusual radiance, unusual energy. And you'll nearly always find their hearts are full of honor, or in some way they have lived very honorably towards their leaders, spiritual leaders, pastors, denominational leaders, their parents, because the principle is not refined just to your natural mum and dad, although it begins there and it's most crucial there. What if your mum and dad are dead, they're passed on, and there's no hope you're doing much for them now in terms of, you know, honouring them. But here you are, and, you know, you haven't done very well in that department. You've sown bad seed. What are you going to do? There's nothing to stop the Lord giving you other people to honour. There's nothing to stop the Lord giving you other elderly people to care for, or senior people to honour. And you can begin walking in honor if you never did before. But in the New Testament, this is the one we're looking at on the board here, there's a slight variation. What do you think it is? Well, it's the first word, actually, children. That Old Testament command was given to adults. All the adult Israelites, honor your father and mother. And the term honor actually meant take care of them financially. Remember, there were no pensions, no retirement benefits, no nursing homes. And it was really a command that made sure that people like you and me, who are strong and capable of providing, actually provided for our parents. So in other words, there was a lot of money connected to the command, honour your father and mother. It wasn't just being nice to them. It wasn't just a phone call on Mother's Day or a gift on their birthday. This was taking care of them, and taking care of them very well. When you come to the New Testament, what you discover is it's not just for adults who have to take care of their aged mum and dad. It definitely applies to children. And in the New Testament, this is what Paul is pointing out. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And he quotes this command, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, if you're young, all your teenagers, it's time to start planning and preparing for a good long life of service to Jesus Christ in which your life is fruitful, and it sure does begin with your attitude to your mum and dad and the kind of love you have. Anyway, I'm preaching to the converted on this point, I know, but there it is. I want to take you to the testimony of Caleb. Caleb was a man who lived long, and he lived strong, and he lived fruitful. And there is a place in the Bible where we actually have Caleb's own words recorded, and in his testimony we find exactly what happened that caused him to still be physically 40 years of age, even when he was 85 and older. How did this happen? Let's listen to his words. If you have them, you can put them up, but just let me read his words to begin with. I'll read. It doesn't matter if it doesn't go up on the screen. Ready? Just listen to this. This is what Caleb said. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you've followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, he's speaking to Joshua now. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said. So this is Caleb's testimony. There's a few little things that stand out as features. The first thing is that when others were quavering with fear and were caviling and carrying on, this guy stood against the flow. In other words, if it was today, it would be a case of him standing up for Christ when others didn't. Or him not being ashamed of the gospel when others were. Or him in a difficult place but still willing to speak up for what is right and good when others might just be silent and keep their head low. In other words, he was prepared to take a stand according to his convictions. And it was because of this, and because in that whole matter, he said, by the way, in this short passage it says three times, he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Now, in a passage that is describing an outcome, the outcome in somebody's life where at 85 years of age they had not aged a day from when they were 40. That's what happened here. It wasn't a case that he had aged a bit and was still pretty good. According to the description, he was in the same physical shape at 85 as he was at 40. But the one thing that gets repeated over and over in the passage is that he followed his God and Moses' God wholeheartedly. And so with that, he took a stand, and then as a result of the stand he took, Moses made him a promise. Now this is very important for us too. So he says, so on that day Moses swore to me, now listen to the promise, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and your children. But the implication there is that land, that ground in the promised land where you walked, is yours. Now, because Moses swears this to him, the Lord kept him physically at exactly the same age he was as when he walked on it until he brought him back to it 45 years later and gave it to him. That's not bad. But all those elements are there, including the fact that a promise was made to this man. Now, what that is leading to is this. If you want to live longer and better and more fruitfully, you need to seek the Lord for a promise. None of this can be taken as automatic. You have to be a seeker after grace. And the Lord willingly gives promises. What comes to mind for me, for example, is the time when I first got to Papua New Guinea, had two small boys, Hazel pregnant, and my job meant I had to fly in little planes all around Papua New Guinea, the most dangerous country in the world for flying, and the mountains out there are scattered with the wrecks of aircraft, mostly small ones. And I went to the bedroom and sought the Lord, the spare bedroom, and I sought the Lord, and I said, Lord, I do not want my children to be fatherless. I want to be here to raise my children and be a father to them. And I'm in the process of this prayer, you know, laying myself out before God and seeking God when he spoke. And he gave me a scripture. The Lord will bless you coming in and you going out from this time forth and forever. He gave me the scripture and then he spoke. And he said, for you, for every going out, there will be a coming in. Now, that's not bad. And that, and other words along the way, it means I have things from the Lord to believe. They're anchor points in life. They're strong words to stand on. You can war over those things. You can believe God. But the point is, Caleb had such a promise. And the promise was, this land here that we're not going to possess, we're going off in the other direction for 40 years, it'll be yours. And the Lord saw to it that when he came back 45 years later, he was physically the same age and was as able to drive out the enemy then as he would have been physically able 45 years before. That is not bad. But see, all of this comes out of spiritual dynamics. This is not just the normal business of just that what health and exercise and nutrition can do for you. That stuff is good, and I pay attention to it. But really, we're trying to go to another level here. You've got to deal with this spiritually. You've got to have something from the Lord. There's got to be some kind of promise, some assurance of grace. When the Lord gives you an assurance of anything, it's then easy to obtain. Until you get the word of his promise, until you get the assurance, it can be difficult to obtain. But anything he's spoken over, you'll be able to walk in it. Like, I remember the night in the year was 1994. And we had not long moved into that house out there where we are now, our first year in the house, I think, and the floors were still bare concrete, and so it was the early days, and we were sitting at the table, the kitchen table, a table we don't have now, but the one thing in my heart, I'd been to America maybe once to visit Chuck, but the one thing that was in my heart was to take Hazel and the kids to America for a holiday. And we were in no financial position to do it, and I could not see any possibility of doing that at all, but it was in my heart to do. So I took Hazel's hand across the table and held her hand and prayed. And I asked the Lord if he would take us to America as a family for a holiday. And in that moment as I prayed, it felt as if another hand joined ours. And when you pray, you sense something's complete. You know, it's like, yeah, the prayer got sheeted home. But see, that assurance, it's like there were three hands agreeing. And that's what I mean. When you get that kind of thing from the Lord, you need to get it over your health, over the health of your family, over the lives that you're meant to live, over your ultimate purpose. What's your destiny? What are the outcomes? What's your calling? You know, in what way you're meant to be fruitful so that to the very end you've got motives. You know, you've got desires. You've got hunger. You need all of that in place. You need this word from the Lord. You need this assurance. Well, did the Lord do anything with that? See, once I had that agreement from the Lord, I was not in any doubt that thing was going to happen, even though I had no money. A year or two went past, and I'm in America visiting Chuck, and a pastor and his wife rang up to find out where we were. We're in a restaurant somewhere, and they drove 2 hours to come and find us. And this pastor said to me that he had a word from the Lord. The Lord said I would be coming back to America with my family, my wife and all my kids, and the Lord had appointed this pastor to see to it that we had money, we had a vehicle, and we had really good places for accommodation the whole time we were in America. We were there 2 months. I turned up, that fellow gave me this 12-seat V8 Chevy, and he put money in my hands, and he arranged good accommodation for us everywhere. He put more money in my hands later. It was a miracle. These things happen when you have the agreement of the Lord. An agreement from God or a word from God comes when you seek God. There is no other way to obtain it except go into your room and shut the door and kneel down and seek the Lord. Well, that's the best way. You can pray in other places. But you've got to find this alone time with the Lord to get His agreement concerning the course of your life. Now give me Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to show you three verses, one behind another. It's not enough to have honored your parents and to have sought and obtained the word of God as a blessing. The scripture has something else to say. You can read it with me. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to possess. This principle has never changed. Love God, walk with God, and obey God. And this is really the central principle of it all, of actually walking in the righteousness. If we skip Deuteronomy 30, 17 and 18 and skip to 19 and 20. Everybody take a look at this. Moses is still speaking to the Israelites. He says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to His voice and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land. Now, in the middle of this verse is a phrase that it would be very handy to remember as a kind of a guiding principle. Count the lines down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. See where that little indent in the first word is love. Everybody seeing this place now? The next three little phrases. Love the Lord your God. Listen to His voice and hold fast to Him. That is Moses' application of the earlier statement that said, love the Lord, walk in His ways and obey His commands. He brings out this extra phrase, hold fast to Him. This is the key. It's the key to having your prayers answered and in turn living a long life. I go to Deuteronomy 11. There's just a few of these. We're nearly through. What have we dealt with so far? Honoring your parents. Before that, we dealt with, you know, guarding your heart and your mouth with respect to what comes out. Whoever would love life, see good days, keep your tongue from evil. That was the first. Honoring your parents was the second. The third one there was, the testimony of Caleb. Following wholeheartedly and getting a promise from God. The fourth one was love the Lord, walk in His ways, obey His commands, hold fast to Him. This is the fifth one. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. You have to read that metaphorically. was never intended that you'd walk around with a matchbox tied on your forehead with a Bible verse written in there, which, you know, it did get interpreted that way in history. Don't worry, it did. No, really, this is a figurative way of saying it's got to be close to you. It's got to be close to your mind. It's got to be close to your hand. But spiritually, it's got to be close, not just this physical stuff. Get the Word of God in you. Now, I couldn't say that there was anything more important than you really getting the Word of God into your hearts and your minds. In fact, it's so important you every day should be sitting down for a few minutes and reading something. You have to get the Word of God in. You have to be strong and clear with respect to what the Scripture says and give your whole heart to it. We should be a people that really know the Scriptures. So he says here, a little more, teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Why all this? Well, promises are coming, but let's read a little more. The next section, 2021, here it is. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be what? May be many. You have to fill yourself with the Word of God. This is every day. Get the Scriptures. Soak the Scriptures. Read it, think it, believe it, give your heart to it. If you can walk in the power of the Word of God, it will add years to your life. It will add health to your body. It will add clarity to your mind. It'll add conviction to your spirit. It's going to add fruitfulness to everything you do. Every prayer you pray heard in heaven, power will flow from you to bless other people. You have to be full of the Word of God. You're neglecting the Word of God, I can't promise you much. And here's the proof from the words of Jesus in John 15, 7 to 8. He said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. I told you fruitfulness was important, and in the end it's the ultimate measure. But what was Jesus' promise here? Remain in me. My words remain in you. If you're full of the Word of God, it is very easy to pray. And if you're full of the Word of God, it's very easy to get answers. Item 6. It's a benefit from pursuing wisdom. To summarize, the Scriptures have a lot to say about your need to pursue wisdom and understanding and the outcomes of it. I'm not going to take the time to go into it, but one of the things that is repeatedly emphasized over and over and over in many places is that if you are a seeker after wisdom, so that you become one who walks in the wisdom of God, you walks in the knowledge of the holy, it will add years to your life. These are the expressions used in Scripture. Years will be added to you. I'll quickly read you a couple of Proverbs. And this is wisdom speaking, like wisdom personified in the Scriptures. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. In another place, wisdom says, listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. Another one, leave your simple ways and you will live. Another, this is interesting. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. And this one, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, for through me your days will be many. Well, or your modern version here, for through wisdom your days will be many and years will be added to your life. I would have liked to have dwelt on that one as much or more than any, but maybe another day. A couple of quick ones to round off here. Exodus 23, I found this interesting. All you want to live a long life? Take a look at this simple verse. Worship the Lord, and his blessing will be on your food and water. Man, I read a lot of stuff about food and water. If you did all the stuff that these bulletins advise, there'd be no time for anything else in life. You'd be reading every label and making everything organic, and you'd be, the effort's incredible. I'm sure it's good advice in their own way, but I know that when you become a crank, your health actually deteriorates. And an interesting scripture that I was pondering this last week is the one where the Lord says, it's not what goes into the body that makes a man unclean, but what comes out of the heart. He says, because if it goes in via the mouth, it is eliminated. And when you walk with God, yeah, you might eat some foods that are not the greatest, but you can walk in a grace where the body definitely cleans out the stuff that you don't even know you're eating. And you get even to this extreme case, as in Mark 16, you can drink any point. Now, it's not telling you to do it, man. But if you happen to, you know, accidentally drink a poison, it will not harm you. Now, that's how good grace can be. Now, I believe in paying attention, you know, healthy food, proper diet, proper nutrition, exercise, and all of that. But if you become a fanatic, please be warned, you will end up less healthy, not more healthy. Because you're going to get better outcomes out of walking by grace and faith and living a balanced life. There's a lot of things to be fitted in life, not just worrying about, you know, every last germ. There are provisions of grace for this holy grace to be upon your body in such a way that stuff is eliminated. And in this modern society, we need that more than ever. You know, a lot of this processed food got a lot of junk in it. It had a lot of goodness taken out of it. One good reason, when that meal looks so fantastic, it still needs a blessing. You better give it a blessing. You better learn to really command a blessing on it and then trust the grace of God. You're going to get some goodness out of all of that. But what's the key here to all of that? You're going to be a worshipper. So when that meal's plonked down in front of you, just for a moment, you can be a worshipper. But you better live a life of worship if you want to live really well. Well, dear friends, time is getting away and I want to wrap this up. I haven't given you a promise yet, though. You need one to seek. Here's Psalm 92. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon planted in the house of the Lord. They'll flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock. It's the outcome of righteousness, in case you didn't know. Number nine. We're up to number nine. By the ninth one is this. Do you remember Jesus said, concerning his body and his blood, remember me? Next Sunday, we're going to look at that. Next Sunday, for the Sunday morning service, we're going to sit around the table of the Lord for the whole service. We'll base our service purely on the Lord's table. We're going to sit around it because I want us all afresh to have a really clear view of the Lord's body. What his body does for you. But remember, he said, remember. Now, the Old Testament also has a lot to say about remembering, and Psalm 103 in particular says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and what comes next? Forget not. Forget not all his benefits. And then it begins to list all his benefits. And amongst those benefits, only in a long list, it's only a third on the list, your youth renewed like the eagle. Forget not. He satisfies your desires with good things. I said earlier, and this is the whole point, this is my closing remark. The study is not exhaustive on all that the Bible has to say about how to have years added to your life. How to walk under the blessing of God in such a way that it's a good life, it's blessed. It's longer, it's stronger, it's healthier, more vigor in your spirit, more clarity about your purpose. The Bible has plenty to say about all of that, and it's really up to you to seek the face of God and getting some part of that really into your spirit so that you can walk in it. But the way we needed to close out this word today is to put the emphasis on your prayer and your believing God. You have the promises, you have the instructions on righteousness, on clinging to the Lord, on living a life of honor. But I said earlier that none of this can be taken for granted. You have to ask the Lord. When I was in India with Hazel for John Christian's wedding, what, maybe 10 years ago now or something, I was just reading my Bible one morning when the Lord spoke. Now, I had never in my life prayed to live a longer life. I had always, for all my life, simply assumed I would live until the age that the Lord took me home, whatever that was, and I'd always assumed it would be 87. So I just lived by assuming that and having no particular prayer to pray at all. And along the way, I'd heard other people say they were praying for this and that. And I always thought, well, lots of luck. And so I'd never expressed any particular faith. But sitting there that day, the Lord said to me that he wanted me to pray for a longer life. And he gave me a reason. He said I was to teach a succeeding generation. Now, what does this tell us? And then I prayed for it, and you know, with the course of time, I felt the Lord granted me a longer life. What do we learn from this, though? Simply this. Here was a situation in which it was the will of God to give me something, but it was still not going to happen automatically, not automatically. You've got to get my drift on this. Here was something that was God's will, but the only way that it would happen is if I asked. It was not going to happen just because it was the will of God and I was doing well, so he gave it. At least in my particular case, it was necessary. And it will be necessary for you, or most of you, to be very clear in your mind about what you want from the Lord and ask him for it. Please remember, many of these passages are specific in saying he gives you the desire of your heart. Now, the heart has its wicked side, where some of the things we lust after, of course he won't give us. And some things we want are not good, or not good for us, and he knows it, and he keeps them out. But there's another part, a big part of our heart, in which there are just basic desires and longings, and the Lord wants to give them. But you need also to express these things to the Lord. So don't think that most of this or much of this can happen. Some will happen, but a lot of it can't happen without you living the life of prayer in which you express your desires to him. There are so many scriptures that talk about the desire of the heart and the Lord being willing to give them. Caleb said, give me this mountain. Jesus said, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. What did Jesus say? Does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. So in closing, remember this parable Jesus taught. Remember the parable? A guy gets a visitor at midnight and he's got no food to set before him, and he goes to his neighbor who's a good mate. Midnight it is, and he's banging on the door. Please, can you lend me 3 loaves of bread? Visitors come, unexpected. I've got nothing to set before him. And the guy says, look, I'm in bed. My kids are in bed. You know, please go away. I can't get up. And the guy insisting, yeah, I've got a problem. I need the bread. Jesus said, please listen. Jesus said, even though he will not get up and give him the bread because he's a friend, I tell you, because of the man's boldness, he will get up. In other words, he's at the door, he's making a racket, it's breaking all the social rules, but he's making a racket anyway. Please, I need the bread. He'll get up and give him the bread. Jesus said he'll give him the bread because of his boldness, not because he's a friend. Why did Jesus tell this story? He told the story to illustrate, to demonstrate how much of your prayer will be answered. There are prayers answered in other ways, easier ways, and some things just happen because the Lord's blessed, but there's a whole lot of stuff that will not happen unless you have the boldness of faith that takes it up in prayer and bangs on heaven's door and says, Lord, I believe God, and Lord, you said, I'm standing on your word, and thank you, Lord, this is what you're going to do for me, and the stuff opens up. You have to learn the boldness in prayer, basically knocking on doors in a way you might not have knocked on them before. Do you remember Jesus' words? In fact, this was the very next thing Jesus said after he told that parable. He said, ask, because everyone who asks receives. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And so you have to take this lesson. The blessings that you might want are not necessarily just going to flow automatically. That all of this has to be combined with a life of faith and prayer. And if you're going to do that, you may as well grow in it, become bold and confident and strong in faith. Fill yourselves with the Word of God. There is no excuse. With the education you have and all the leisure time you have up your sleeves, as modern life allows you, to not have read and read and read your Bible, because if you're full of it, it is so easy to pray. It's so easy to be bold and belt on heaven's door if you're a Bible reader. I'm often in a place where you go to start a prayer time and you know, it's not just automatic. You know, you think, oh, you know, you're not quite in the spirit. But I tell you what, open the Bible, I've only got to read half a verse and boom. Word of God just does that to me, but it's probably come from time. As soon as I start reading the scripture, man, it's just alive. Yeah, fantastic. Well, may it be so for you. All right, who'd like to live a long life? That's great. That's great. No one's dying early. You're going to stay right here and pay your tithes, right? we could do the budgets based on this, you know. thank God. However, here's what I'm suggesting. We need a few moments prayer. Before we eat and drink at the table in closing our service today. I'm suggesting, in the light of this teaching, each of you search your heart right now. Is there anything to put right before God? Is there any way in which you've not held fast to Him? Well, go back. Did you really honor your father and your mother? You know, is it? In growing up, did you love them and honor them? I'm not saying they're necessarily honorable. Not everybody had honorable parents, but did you honor them? Just settle it with the Lord. If there's something to be washed from, then get washed and do it right now. Let's just make sure our lives are in order. But if for no other reason, I've taught you this today simply so that you would all know it's available. By faith and grace, it's available. Don't take it for granted. But in this quietness now, just with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's consider the Lord. Each one of you, are you walking with God? Are you living a life of honor? Honoring others more than yourself? Honoring your leaders? Honoring your parents? Are you walking in righteousness? Clinging to the Lord? Filling yourself with His Word? Are you guarding your lips? In your own heart now, anything that you should leave in repentance at the altar, go ahead and do that in your heart, just now. And Father, I pray for the washing and the cleansing of the hearts and the lives of all of our people. That you'd grant them grace, O God, this day. That all our young people would find grace by which to walk with God. To walk with God all the way from earth to heaven. To walk in righteousness. I ask you, Lord, that you'd fill them with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God. May our young people be filled with the glory of God. Their lives offer to you an exemplary service, holy living, very fruitful. Bless their health. I thank you, Lord, that those who walk in righteousness will walk in these blessings coming upon them, being crowned with blessings. Thank you, Lord. I thank you today. You have promised to add long life and peace and good years to those who cling to the Lord and walk in your ways and listen to your voice and obey you. And I ask you, Lord, that the people of peace would inherit these graces. And I pray, Lord, for all those who are middle-aged and older, that even now we would be beginning more and more to find the benefits of righteousness. And I ask that those benefits would indeed flow upon all this people. There'd be health benefits and strength benefits. And all of this, O Lord, not an end in itself, but so that our lives can be lived all the more fruitfully for you, all the more should we live long lives that are fruitful, bearing praise, lifting up glory to your name. I thank you, Lord, all these benefits are ours, and we forget them not today. And I ask that you'd visit this grace upon every one of these dear ones. Pray, Lord, there'd be healing and deliverances, and that long life and good health and strength and vigor and vitality of spirit, resolution of purpose, clear vision and goals to the end, it would be the portion, it would be the lot and the inheritance of all of our people. Thank you for this inheritance, Lord. I ask for it today. We bless the name of the living God. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, take it up with the Lord. There is nothing you cannot pray about. And the scripture says, all things are possible to him who believes. But the way you build believing faith is by time in prayer and the word of God. If there's not time reading the scriptures and time in prayer, faith doesn't build. And then when you need to pray, it's harder to pray and believe God when you haven't built a life of prayer. Anyway, I encourage you. You're going to seek the Lord because there are many benefits. There are many blessings.